Glory to God. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Woo! This morning, we trample over every limitation. We walk over every hindrance. We pull down every stronghold. We destroy everything that is hindering the saints, even as the shout of our rejoicing and the loudness of our praise is seen in this land, 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 in this land. Satan, we serve you notice in this environment and the regions round about. Let the children of God come pouring in. Let the saints of God come pouring in. Let the captives be set free. Let the sound of praise and the victory of Jesus in this assembly, let it reach the far corners, to the east, to the south, to the west, to the north, and let every captive be set free. Let men hear the sound of the King in this house. Let them be supernaturally brought and drawn from everywhere. Every single service, new members are added. Every single service, new people walk in through the workings of angels and the supply of the Spirit. They will hear a voice saying, get up. Many will see descriptions of this church. Some will see ID. Some will see identity. Then they will see identification church. And they begin to come in from every direction. The Spirit of God will whisper to many in their beds and say, that's the place I prepared for you. That's the place I prepared for you. That's your company where you will thrive and you will prosper. This is that season. This is that season. This is that season. God has given this seed a body. He has given this seed a body. Life has come. Grace is administered. Abundance is here. Harvest is full. Cup is full. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Sit down in a hurry. I've already violated what I said I was going to do. So. You guys are drunkards. I'm telling you. I mean, you guys are spiritual junkies. I don't know. I was telling Pastor T in the car, I'm going to be calm this morning. That's why I said I'm going to be calm this morning. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to behave, and I'm already misbehaving. Tell your neighbor, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Tell them, Pastor is calm. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And I'm not the first person. I'm not the first person. I won't be the last. You know, this morning, just be like that woman. You are not that woman, but just conduct yourself in that supernatural attitude. She heard of Jesus, and she came in the press behind. She didn't ask whether it was Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Saturday. She just heard. What did she hear? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power. Who went about doing good, healing all, not some, healing all, not some. She heard. That's what she heard. How do we know that's what she heard? Because of what she did. She had heard of Jesus and she came in the press behind. She was an outcast. An outcast, somebody who is not permitted to publicly be in the society. According to the law, anybody she touches with that issue of blood becomes unclean. If they catch her walking through the crowd, they likely will stone her. Because everybody she touches will be unclean. But she had heard of Jesus. And she came in the press behind. The Bible says there was a multitude that followed Jesus to Jairus' house. But that woman came in the press behind. She processed a miracle before she left the house. She already observed how she was going to receive. She received, she would have sneaked away. But Jesus said, auntie, come back now. Don't just be going like that. What's happening here? She had received, Jesus perceived the virtue. How much virtue? She felt immediately. 12 years flow. 12 years, that's the degree of power. And yet people were touching Jesus. So nothing happened though. They didn't observe anything. Jesus didn't even say she touched me. She touched my clothes. Peter must have been angry. He touched your clothes. James, you hear what he said? John, well, is it clothes they are touching you or they are chonging you? It's not your fault. If they are push you down, you'll be saying they are chonging. We are doing bodyguard for you. You're saying they are touching your clothes. Is it clothes they are touching? They will have torn everything from you. We are protecting you. You're saying I'm touching your clothes. Is it clothes they are touching here? You see, Monty, they are touching clothes. They say, you don't understand. Somebody touched my clothes. I perceive the virtue has gone out of me. She didn't ask for permission. That's why I'm amused at Christian who says, I don't know when God will open my file. Your file? When was your file ever closed? You have file when you are a son in the house. How do you have a file? In your father's house. When you are a registered member of the household of God. File. 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 Don't be like some unserious believers who say things like, Pastor, they took my name. They took my name. They take him to the village. I asked, did you give them transportation money? Put your full name there. By your day, Mark, are your day, Oyeka. Tell them, go quickly. You have enough to go. If you are stupid to think that when you get there, the name your natural father gave you is the name your spiritual father gave you. No, my name is Son of God. 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 Village people. That's the least of my worries. Village people. They'll be saved when I get there. There's no sorcery against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. The shout of a king is in our midst. Hallelujah. Have you read Isaiah 54:17 before? No weapon fashioned against your kind shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment. So when incantations begin to play, I am born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, of the seed of the God of God that liveth and abideth forever. I can't be charmed. I can't be just. Sorcery can't work. Something bigger than sorcery is here. Resurrection life. Resurrection life. Resurrection life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the doctor says is in my body. There's another body, another constitution. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing fashioned against me can prosper. It may start, but it cannot prosper. That means to continue. Hey! It can come, but it can't prosper. That means to continue. It can only come, but it will come to go. It cannot stay. Because there's a greater indwelling. Somebody else is present. Somebody has taken residency already. It's the Holy Ghost from heaven. He's already resident here. No more vacancy. No more vacancy to any other tenant. I am the temple of the living God. I am the shrine of the Most High God. God is present in this house. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're warming up this morning. Have your seat one more time. Let me set you down enough to teach. Woo! All my plans. It's you people, you are doing me. You people are doing me. You people are doing me. Hallelujah. Hey, I've got a life of God in me. I've got a life of God in me. I've got a spirit of the Son of God. I've got a life of God in me. I've got a life of God in me. I've got a life of God in me. I've got the spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. You know, Paul says not to quench the spirit. So sometimes we calm down enough to hear God's word. Not to quench means there's an ongoing activity 24/7. It's a revelation of God's word that makes you pay attention to that activity. Say, I'm in the spirit. I'm not in the flesh. I'm not in the senses. I'm not in sin. I'm not in condemnation. I'm in the spirit. I'm in the victory of Jesus. That victory is loud. Hey, that victory is loud. Glory to God. I'm the one that chooses when to express. When I can no longer contain, you see me shaking. You see me swaying. When swaying is not enough, you see me shouting. When shouting, you see me jumping. So now, you know, that time when I just raised my hand, I couldn't contain. I was trying to be cool, to be calm, but I couldn't be collected. Something on the inside was shouting victory, 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 victory. Can you hear the sound? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And like the early church today, we still hear sound. They heard the sound on the day of Pentecost as of a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a rushing mighty wind, it was a sound as of as a figure of speech. That's where it sounded. That's the sound of the victory of Christ in the early church as they began. Remember where we were yesterday? They began. Hallelujah. They began. There was an initiative given to them as the body that they were able to begin. Now, again, as we continue this morning, in Philemon and verse 6. Philemon and verse 6. So, help me to behave a bit this morning. So, we can cover some ground before holy chaos starts. Hallelujah. Philemon and verse 6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of your faith may become effectual. Notice the word may. Has been slotted there by Paul to emphasize your permission or something that happens as a reason of your consent. He said that the communication of your faith, well, if you want to start contextually, verse 4 says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So notice Paul is telling us, how do you pray for a fellow saint? With thanksgiving. That's how you pray for a fellow saint. With thanksgiving. Because the saint is the work of God. The saint is the work of God. The saint is the promise of the ages fulfilled. The saint is the work of God. It's the promise of the ages fulfilled. God's everlasting triumph. Yes, it's in the resurrection of Jesus. But the proof of that resurrection is found in every single saint. Now, just like a few minutes ago this morning during worship, we gave expression to that victory because we're carriers of that resurrection life. Hallelujah. That's why it's not strange to see outburst of joy when we come together. Because individually we're temples of God, but together we form the habitation of God through the Spirit. That's important. Glory to God. We're not making things up. No, no. It's our heritage. It's a promise of the ages fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. So Paul is writing to Philemon. And he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. So Paul is saying, I did not look at the situation that surrounds the saints when I want to pray. I look at what God has done in Christ when I want to pray. And when I look at what God has done in Christ concerning every saint, I proceed in my prayer with thanksgiving. So you are not a prayer point, you are a source of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. A source of thanksgiving. Was that to Philemon alone? No. In Ephesians 1 and verse 16, Paul, praying for the church at Ephesus, he said, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He gives thanks by making mention of them. He gives thanks. I cease not to pray for you. So there's something about the saints and thanksgiving with respect to what God has done. respect to what God has done. And that is important for you and I to understand. So when Paul is talking to Philemon, and he says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that there are good things which are in you by reason of your union with Christ Jesus. Your faith, that is the faith of the Lord Jesus that is in your heart. That faith becomes effectual. Now, by extension, the main focus of that scripture is how you share your faith with others. But again, another lesson in that verse is that your faith in every facet of life becomes effectual. So, the faith you have is effective, but the communication may not be effectual. Let me say it again. The faith you have is effectual because it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Are you with me this morning? Glory to God. Galatians chapter 2, and I read from verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ who is alive in me. I'm reading it the way it's meant to be read. Who is alive in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh or in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of. Notice not faith in. Faith in is how you became saved. Faith of is how you walk in Christ. So the life which I now live, I live by the faith of. So the faith of is only as accomplished, which constitutes my faith, by which I now walk, or I walk in the reality of what he has accomplished. That's what he's talking about. So notice Paul is saying, you will see me, but the person living through me is Christ. Or my aliveness today is the aliveness of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, or his crucifixion gave me life. Yet not I, but Christ, who is what? Alive in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of. Now, that same faith now, Paul is writing to Philemon. He says the communication of that faith may become effectual. So, the communication is dependent on how much he acknowledges of the good things which are in him by reason of his union with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, in other words, I am not sufficient in myself. My sufficiency is in the good things which are in me by reason of my union. My union is where the sufficiency is. My union with Christ. Hallelujah. By the faith of. By the faith of. By the faith of. And that's important because, again, when we go back to Acts chapter 2, we see something beautiful. And that's the fact that the same Peter that was timid in the four Gospels, the same Peter that went out fishing when his Lord was missing for 3 days, that same Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began to explain what happened in the first four verses. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly. So suddenly is a description of when they yielded to the Spirit. Suddenly. Let me say it again. Suddenly is not the activity of the Spirit. Suddenly the activity of men yielding to the Spirit. So they heard a sound. They became aware of a sound. Then they saw, cloven not like a saw fire. Then they began. So there was a prompting. They saw, they heard, they began. They saw, they heard, they began. They saw, they heard, they began. Then in that same book of Acts, chapter 2, just follow me this morning. In that same Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. What did they see that made them amazed? They saw spiritual activity. They saw men drunk with the Spirit. They saw men speaking about the wonderful works of God. So some were amazed, some were mocking. Peter stood up to explain the spiritual phenomena that was happening. Where did Peter get his explanation from? From the 40 days of Jesus teaching them in chapter 1 of Acts. Hallelujah. So Jesus had taught them the things concerning the kingdom or the things concerning the realm of the Spirit. Now they were functioning in that realm. Everybody who functioned had been a student of Jesus and a disciple of Christ. So, on the day of Pentecost, they began to give expression to the reality of the Feast of Pentecost for the first time. You know what? The Feast of Tabernacles, men are filled. Men are filled. Men are filled. Men are filled. So, men being filled began to express what they were filled with. And you notice, when Luke, who speaks in the language of night, men, they were filled. In our normal English parlance, we will think to be filled means to put something into an empty vessel. But the word filled used by Luke actually means something which is already present to rise to the surface or to influence the container. So men were filled. That means the Spirit was already present because they were already born again. Hallelujah. The Spirit was present. Then they began. So they were filled means they were influenced by the Spirit. And that influence, we know from Acts 1 and verse 8, that influence was a function of what they did to be influenced. Jesus told them, you shall receive, you shall take off, or you shall take from. So, did they have the Spirit? Yes. When did they become filled? After they tarried. What happened when they tarried? They took off the Spirit. Hallelujah. Everybody here this morning has been filled. Hallelujah. We were filled, not because somebody compelled us to. Yes, the people who were leading worship stirred us up. Yes, pastor gave us a charge. But what really happened, it was still left to us to be filled. That is, we took up something already present. Now, again, when you see people who are unlearned, one of the most difficult things for people who are unschooled in things of the Spirit is to wait for the Spirit to do what the Scriptures instructs them to do. That's one of the hallmarks of those who are unlearned. They're waiting for God to do what He said you should do. Glory to God. So, Luke is telling us, and they began. That means they were obeying Jesus. They were following the dictates of the Master, who already told them, you shall receive. Jesus said, don't wait for me to do something. I have given you the initiative. The same Spirit in me, the same Spirit in you. And if you saw me doing things by that Spirit, you also will begin to do things by that Spirit. Hallelujah. So they began, 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They began. It signaled a new era, the fulfillment of prophecy, and so to speak, an expression of the New Testament. That's very important. So, it is not men waiting for God, it is men waiting on God. So, there is a waiting for, that's the promise, before it came to pass. There is a waiting on, now that it has come to pass, what do you do with what God has done? Hallelujah. Let me say this. If I'm speaking too fast, do like this. I will respond, okay? Have a tendency to speak very fast. Amen. I don't know if I still fix fast, but I speak fast. Have you noticed I speak fast? So before you can catch up, sometimes I've said something. So just do like this. It means calm down and say, okay, okay, I heard you. The spirit of the prophet is over to the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So notice, they began. I'm emphasizing that because it's the crux of the New Testament that being born again gives you divine initiative. You can start things. You don't pray until you start praying. You don't speak with tongues until you start speaking tongues. Why are you not speaking now? The answer is in the question. You are not speaking now. Hallelujah. Why are you not laughing now? Is in that same statement, you are not laughing now. Not because the Spirit of God is not laughing. No. When the Spirit of God is laughing, what we will see laughing, we will see you. Because He has chosen you as His temple or the place where His activities can be seen. So I am the temple of the living God. You know, many times when you feel dry and dull, when you feel like, how many of you have felt like that before? You feel dry, you feel like nothing's going on, you charge up yourself. The Spirit within you responds to us. That's why you have to have a walk passage, maybe in your home or school or wherever it is. You have to have a place where you can walk and talk to yourself. You know, in the world, if you are talking to yourself, they say you are mad. I think you're actually mad if you're not talking to yourself. Because in this world, they will drive you crazy if you don't talk to yourself. Have you noticed? Yes. It's every tongue that rises against judgment you will condemn. They just told you now that you have failed and you two were crying. You've already accepted defeat. No, no. What do you do? I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. There's nobody God wants to help that He wants to help me. I'm highly helped of God. You talk yourself out of the sensation. Because you see, that you are in victory doesn't mean victory be manifest. Don't get it twisted. That you are in victory, that's Christ's work. That victory is manifest, that is your work. They're not the same thing. That you are in victory doesn't mean victory manifest. You are to work out your own salvation. That means there are things God has worked in that you are meant to work out. Paul, in speaking to Philemon, said it this way. He says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. You may get results as you learn to acknowledge. So you can choose to acknowledge, you can choose not to acknowledge. That's the word, to fully comprehend, to know very well, and to take hold, to recognize that these things are in you by reason of your union with Christ Jesus. Can Christ be defeated? Impossible. Can Christ fail? Impossible. Every appearance of failure turns to an avenue for victory for everybody who chooses to acknowledge. In other words, defeat may come, it doesn't have to have a last say. It's up to what are you acknowledging, the defeat or the victory that came before the defeat. That's what the secret is. So it says, you begin, and they were unfilled. That is, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Then in explaining that phenomena, in verse 14, look at what Peter said. Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea, and all ye that Judea, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. The secret is in what I'm about to tell you. So you are seeing spiritual operations. Men are speaking in tongues, they're interpreting. Men are running on the floor laughing. Some are jumping. And some of you are mocking. Some of you are amazed because you know this is not natural work. This is a supernatural work. In that sense, the secret is in my words. Listen to my explanation. Who was he talking to? Men of Judea, children of Israel, of the stock of Abraham, people who were Jews, those who had the fathers and the promises. So he knew if he goes to the scripture, they should understand from scripture. At least you have these promises. They are read to you every Sabbath day. You should understand what is happening. You may not know, but I'm going to explain to you. To hearken or pay attention to my words. See what it says in verse 15. For these are not drunken as you suppose. So he's about to quote Joel. And what Joel said that they didn't understand, Peter is about to explain to them. So there was something Joel said. They knew what Joel said, but they didn't understand what Joel said. But Jesus has explained to them what Joel meant. They were good students, and they were teaching thus the way their master taught them. Hallelujah. Let me pause again. What did we see on the day of Pentecost? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what we saw on the day of Pentecost. Yes, tongues, interpretation. Notice the doorway. Through tongues, interpretation, men step into joy. You know, sometimes I try to think this way. For those people who say things like, you know what, this joy thing is for some of these young people, eh? Sometimes we forget the identity of Jesus, that is the Ancient of Days. I think sometimes we forget that. You know, some people are like, all this life, is all these things necessary? Eh? Is your victory necessary? I don't understand. Is your victory necessary? Is your prosperity necessary? Is your Christian experience, do you want it to be profitable? Jesus demonstrated something before he went to the cross and came back and gave you fullness of joy. You say, is it necessary? Ah. Hey. Is the antidote to every dart the enemy fires? You say, is it necessary? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in joy. How old must he have been? If he just went at 33 and a half years, at least Mary should be 50 minimum. And Mary was laughing hilariously. That's what I tell Catholics. When you want to get them filled. I said, you believe in Mary, mother of Jesus? I said, yes, I believe also. Let me show you. She was filled with the Spirit. She spoke in tongues. She laughed. She rejoiced. Show me. I show you. She was one of the 120. She gathered with them. How can you tell me it's for youths? Was she a youth? I don't understand. If Jesus is God in the flesh and was the Ancient of Days, and the Bible says in Luke 10:21, and in that hour, what hour? Ahead of time, Jesus saw you in glory. Your name's written in heaven. And Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. The Ancient of Days is dancing and laughing. Ah, don't dull. I don't understand. You don't hear Ancient of Days. And you are acting like you know yourself. You say, rejoice, glory, glory. You are acting calm. The thing has not hit you well. Hey, glory, glory. You have not started. When he leaped up, spun round, all at the same time, where do you think they got the example from to do what they were doing? He had demonstrated before them. These are the words which I speak to you while I was. This is part of the teaching. I taught you that day how to rejoice. The fulfillment of that rejoicing has come now. So on the day of Pentecost, they were demonstrating the same thing Jesus did. This time around, they had proof. Prophecy fulfilled. Answers have come. The promise of the ages. They saw the Father. The Father, you know when the Father is giving you thumbs up? That's my own. That's my son. That's my fruit. That's my product. That's prophecy fulfilled. That's what they were doing. Does it look like Peter is one of those people who is jumping up and down? But Peter was hilarious. He was hilarious. He calmed down enough to get up from the chair. You know, you are drunk. Excuse me. This is. John is holding him. Are you sure you can talk? I'll try. The other people sat down. Only the 12 got up. People were like, okay, now wow. It's just 9 a.m. The pubs are not open. This one's already drunk this early. How can a man be drinking this? I don't understand. You don't have work? Say, no, we are the workmanship for God in Christ Jesus. Peter's like, hearken to my words. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. Be calming down. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Maybe you know prophet Joel. He was talking to Jews. They should understand prophets. It shall come to pass. I have news for you. It has come to pass. He was telling them, this is the fulfillment. So we're walking the reality. There was something Joel was saying you people didn't catch. It shall come to pass. Joel said afterwards, but Jesus had taught Peter and the others. So Peter used the words of Jesus to explain Joel. Peter didn't say afterwards like Joel said in Joel 2:28. Peter said, it shall come to pass in the last days, or at last, in the time of fulfillment. I will pour out of my spirit. He added the element of off. Joel said, I will pour out my spirit. Peter said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. How will God pour out spirit? It is sons and daughters prophesying. That's the point. So God calls his activity, it will be seen in the actions of men. That's what God was. That's what Joel was saying. That my activity will be seen in the conduct and the actions of men. That is me pouring out my spirit. So every time a believer is rejoicing, we say he's full of the spirit. We say God is pouring out spirit. It's called the action of God. God is pouring out his spirit. Because his spirit is seen in your conduct and your activities. Glory to God. Say, your young men shall see visions. As we're sitting here this morning, there are visions here. There are divine appearances here. Your old men shall see dreams. Of course, you know when it says dreams there, it's talking about divine and granite appearances. Your old men there will be ministers, your elders, the ministers, they will have divinely granted what? Appearances. That means as we're seated here this morning, those appearances are, so in Acts 2:1-4, that means when they were seated, visions were present. Glory to God. Visions were present. Appearances were present. Remember, Peter is explaining what happened. He is explaining after the fact. He now says, before that fact, there is something that caused that to happen. It is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And Joel's prophecy is fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. Then Peter did not stop there. He moves on from Joel's prophecy. He quoted Joel's prophecy in only 2 or 3, 4 verses. Then the rest of the verses he quotes, he went straight on to David's prophecy. In other words, he now tied the experience to the resurrection of Jesus. Now look at what he says as we go on to look at verse 23 or verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, in being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands I have crucified. Notice, it was delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, or God knew ahead of time that will hand himself over to men and he will be crucified by men. God knew ahead of time. That's what God determinate counsel, foreknowledge. He knew ahead of time, in becoming a man, he will hand himself over to men. So he says in verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the prince of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding by it. Go to Psalm 16. Peter is about to quote Psalm 16, but let's look at the way David said in Psalm 16. Glory to God. I don't know about you. Every time I peep into the scriptures and I see how scriptures, step by step, explained by Jesus, explained by the apostles, written the epistles, they are fulfilled, joy begins to well up on my inside. What am I seeing? I'm seeing the faithfulness of God through the ages. I'm seeing how true God's word has been. The incorruptible seed of God's word, which liveth and abideth forever. The word incorruptible means unfailing, not subject to failure. And that's what I'm seeing. You are born again, not of corruptible, but of what? Incorruptible. Incorruptible means you were born from the word that was spoken from Genesis. That word has now given you birth. Hallelujah. In the resurrection of Jesus. It's unfailing means from Genesis as it was spoken, he kept producing results until he produced the final results, the new creation. Glory to God. That's what he said. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is what Peter was quoting in Acts chapter 2. And Peter is quoting what happened to Jesus in David's prophecy. I have set the Lord always before my face. Because he's at my right hand, or he's ever present, I shall not be moved. I will not be discomfited. I will not be discouraged. I will not be afraid. See what it says? It says, therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in expectation. He's announcing to us what was on Jesus' lips as he went to the cross. Glory to God. As he went to the cross. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul tells us, if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear, as heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has won, prepared. That preparation was in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If they had known, but they didn't know. They didn't know. And because they didn't know, Jesus spent 40 days teaching them. So he had announced to them that the Son of Man would be taken by wicked hands and crucified. But on the third day he will rise. They still didn't get what he was saying now. Are you okay? The Lord of life. But you said you are the resurrection and life. How will death come? That is how I will be the resurrection. It is in death that I will manifest. I will swallow up death in victory. Hallelujah. They didn't understand what he was saying. No wonder when he came in Luke and said to them, these are the words which I speak to you while I was yet with you. I'm explaining to you now. And Luke said it took 40 days. Now, how many years after that? Are we still not teaching it now? Our own is not even 40 days. How many years now are we on this journey? In every year, pastor will call for a conference of after 3 days. We're still after 3 days. So we're still learning. Because whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Ecclesiastes 3:14. What is that thing that he did? The resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. And what he accomplished in it is for how long? It's forever. That means you'll still be learning. If you think you know, you have just started knowing. Because when you think you know, you go to the same verses, you see something, you say, yeah. It's like, why didn't I see that before? Hey, no, you can't see everything at once. It's too big. It's too much. It's too vast. It's too wide. Didn't you hear what Paul spoke to the Ephesians when he was praying for them? The depth, the height, the breadth, the length. He has dimensions. You don't know. Just tell yourself, whenever you say, wait, I already know. Just know you don't know as you ought to know. Just tell yourself now, that's how fools talk. I don't know yet. It's a sign I don't know. Because when you know, your first confession is that I don't know as I ought to know. Because there are two things to know in the same verses. Oh, you didn't see everything that was said. So after Jesus taught for 40 days, Peter is just giving them sample. And Peter himself was learning, he was a student, he was a lifelong student. No wonder Paul was praying, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And when Paul was saying it, you know, there was no Ephesians. There was no Galatians. So what was he praying for the eyes to be understanding? The eyes with which you read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. The eyes with which you used to read Isaiah and Psalm, may it be enlightened so that you may know. That means the invitation is in those books as a prophecy. So as you are reading, may you now see what has been packaged for you, what you were called to do. It was described in those prophecies, who you are, what you are capable of. But it was released in the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we in Psalm 16? See what it says again in Psalm 16. It says, I've set the Lord always before my face, because he is present. That's the word right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in expectation. What is he expecting? Thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see what? Corruption. So I will die, but death will not have the final say. Hallelujah. I will die, but death will not be the last bus stop. I will die, but death will not be the destination. It says, my flesh will rest in expectation. Where did the expectation come from? The promise of scriptures. You will not leave my soul in hell. You will not suffer your Holy One to see. What is corruption? For death to have the final say. That's corruption. That's corruption. So what was the destination of man until Jesus came? It was hell. It was corruption having the final say. Glory to God. That's what it was. It was hell. It was death. It was corruption, which is death will not have the final say when corruption takes over. But you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer. You only want to see what? Corruption. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. And let's look at that adventure, because God's master plan, the Bible says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard. Neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, we see the grand plan of God begin to unfold. Praise God forevermore. Yes, you guys are behaving this morning. I'm thankful for your behavior. Don't worry, we'll soon misbehave shortly. Verse 14. See what it says? For as much then. Okay, so when you say for as much then, that means there were some preceding thoughts, isn't it? So there were some things said before. So for as much then, I'm going to jump all the way back to verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Notice that he, by the grace of God, by the ability of the Most High, he should taste death for every man. Notice, he should experience death on the behalf of every man. So, in his experience, every man's experience will now change. Were men experiencing death until Jesus came? Yes. But he will experience death on the behalf of every man. Listen carefully. God will turn around that experience in one man so that every man that believes in him will have the same experience. That was God's plan. So, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, that is God's ultimate plan, by God's ability, he tasted death. He experienced death. But why was he experiencing death? Not because he sinned, but he was made to become sin. Hallelujah. I know in the eyes of divine justice, that's a beautiful thing, because he never sinned. Never committed sin. Neither was any guile found upon his lips. So it was God's plan to make him sin. And that's where the enemy became confused. Because the wages of sin is death. There's a problem. This one has never sinned. How will the wages come? I don't know if you understand God's wisdom. The wages of sin is death, but this one has never sinned. You know, they should have been a little bit on the alert. The law of Moses said that on matter of two or three witnesses. None of the witnesses agreed. They were contradicting themselves. Satan should have been suspicious. I don't understand. We paid this guy to lie. We paid him to lie. But his testimony, and this one is different. They couldn't even have their own testimony. Pilate said, I washed my hand. You won't wash your hand though. You must hand him over. That's Pilate was disturbed. The wife of Pilate said, I had very disturbing dreams. So concerning this man. Wash your hands of this case. You know, in the eyes of divine justice, they couldn't even find any evidence in the spirit. And they played into God's hands. God set a trap and the enemy fell for it. He took the only one and the just one, and by wicked hands. That is where wickedness had no authority, they exercised wickedness. Hallelujah. Wickedness had no authority where Jesus was concerned. There was no sin found in him, but wickedness was exercised. Satan fell into God's trap. So the Bible says that he, by the grace of God, why did he experience death? Not because he sinned, but because by the grace of God, he was meant to experience death for how many? Every man. Look at verse 10. See what it says, verse 10. For it became him, by for whom are all things, and by whom what are all things. That's a reference to Genesis 1, reference to John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. That's what he's talking about. He became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things. So some things were spoken by the mouth of the prophets for God himself to fulfill or to bring to pass. So it was spoken for him. It was meant to be accomplished by him. He became him for whom are all things were spoken, and by whom those things will be accomplished. What will happen? See what it says. It says in verse 9 or verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation what? Perfect through suffering. Let's take it back to the previous verse. He, by the grace of God, will taste death. That is how he became perfect through what? Sufferings. Hallelujah. So in tasting death for every man, what would he accomplish? He will bring many sons into glory. He was already in glory. But he was to bring many sons into what? Glory. So man was in death. God was in life. Life came inside death. And death had no answer to life. That's what was happening. So every drama was playing out. That's what was taking place. Every drama was playing out. So when you get all the way now, and look at the outcome. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifies, hallelujah, and the one who sanctified, a horn of one. I don't know why King James uses that phrase. They all have the same source or the same father, so that he is not ashamed to call us what? Brethren. We have the same stock. We come from the same womb. We have the same DNA. We have the same standing. We reign in heavenlies. Hallelujah. By his mercy, by his grace. Glory to God. He became him for whom I ought, by whom I ought. So all that was spoken for him to accomplish. Hebrews 1 and from verse 1. Look at Hebrews 1 from verse 1. Glory to God. Are you getting something this morning? There is no time the story of redemption is taught or expressed that you will learn something new. It will be a refreshing. You've learned it before, you've heard before, you've been taught before, but when it's taught afresh, there's still a freshness, a renewed understanding that comes to your heart, because it's a driving force for all the activities of the spirit you're going to see. They just had a supernatural experience. People saw it. How are you going to bring people into the laughing? That you just laughed. The jumping, you just jumped. If you don't explain to them what you are doing. That was what Peter was doing. So we're looking at Peter's explanation, connecting it with other writers of the scriptures. And this is what Peter was trying to explain. The other writers now amplified. See what it says again. It says, for both he that sanctifies and who that sanctifies, the hand of one wherefore is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. Saying, that's in prophecy, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of what? The church will I sing praise unto thee. Or the church will be an expression of all that Jesus has accomplished. I will sing praise to you in the midst of the church. Again, I will put my trust in him again. Behold, I and the children. When did God give him children? In his resurrection. I and the children which God has won, given me. We are for what? Signs and wonders. Well, that's what Isaiah said. You won't find that in Hebrews. Amen. But look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Amen. For as much then, hallelujah, the writer is explaining to you what happened. He's talking to Jews, trying to persuade them. The letter to the church, or to the Hebrews, was a letter that was meant to convince some, encourage some, and remove doubts from some. It was a letter to Jews who were already believers, Jews who were about to believe, and Jews who didn't believe. So it was an audience. See what it says. For as much then as the children are participators of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy him. That's the word paralyze. Render useless. Render ineffective. The one who had what? the dominion of death that is the devil. Look at what it says. And deliver. So, in rendering the enemy useless, through death, life spoke. And when life spoke, Satan was paralyzed. How was he paralyzed? Because the ability of death was destroyed. See what it says in verse 15. And deliver them who through what? Fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. Glory to God. So through fear, they were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. Glory to God. So go back with me to Psalm 16. Are you getting something this morning? We're following Peter. Peter is explaining from scriptures. Peter went to the prophecy of Joel. Peter went to the prophecy of David. And he quoted more of David than he quoted Joel. That means that the full explanation in David that is in finding Joel. So Peter, in quoting Joel, see what it says again. It says in verse 9, Psalm 16 verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in anticipation. For you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to experience what? Corruption, or death will not have the final say. So remember, through death, he paralyzing that the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered. And delivered. So in his own deliverance, there is our deliverance. Are you with me this morning? So notice, and it says, verse 10 again, you will not leave my soul in any, that will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. Now notice what in the Psalm of David, it is futuristic. You will. This is what you are going to do. I will taste death by the grace of God for every man, but you will show me the path of life. How will you ensure death does not have a final say? You will show me the path of life. What's the path of life? In your presence. Hallelujah. In your presence. The path of life is in your presence. There is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are what? Pleasures forevermore. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you will show me the path of life. What's the path of life? Your presence. Your presence. Your presence, which is your appearance, which is the resurrection, which is your right hand. So your presence, that's a part of life. Your presence is the fullness of joy. Your presence, that is the right hand. Let me say it again. Your presence, that's the part of life. Your presence, that's the fullness of joy. Your presence, that is your right hand. That's what it's talking about. Let me read again. That will show me. So Jesus will go to hell. Jesus will experience death. But God will not leave his soul. And in God not leaving his soul, God has proved for all ages that he is faithful. He can't deny himself. So David is using what will happen to Jesus to teach us a lesson about God's eternal faithfulness. So when you hear the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13 from verse 5, says that, let your conversation be free of covetousness. Be content with such as you have. That's not an advice to be poor. Follow the context. Be content with such as you have. For he has said, aha, your wealth is in what he has said. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He proved it in the resurrection of Jesus. You will not leave my soul in hell. You will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. So though he had no sin, he became sin. He tasted death for every man, so that every man who had suffered corruption through his resurrection may have the same resurrection. That's what he did. He now calls it the way of life, which is your presence, which is the fullness of joy, which is your right hand and pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Which is right hand pleasure. Look at Psalm 51. Same David. David is a prophet. Hallelujah. You know, we quoted Solomon earlier. Who is Solomon? Popularly called the king. But if you are looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, introduce himself as a preacher. So Solomon was a king to the outside world, but Solomon was a preacher according to God's call. Where did Solomon learn from? He was a student of David. Who was David's teacher? David was a student of Moses. So Solomon took after his father. So what you find in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, if you study very well, you will see certain prophecies that Solomon also spoke about. I said, Solomon, the preacher. These are the words of the preacher. So when Solomon is telling you, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, whatsoever the Lord doeth, the doing he's talking about is in raising Jesus from the dead. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be subtracted from it. Hallelujah. You are in that doing now. You are in that doing now. I'm in that doing now. Whatsoever I did not do, it shall be forever. See, my sins are forgiven forever. See, I'm sanctified forever. See, I'm made holy forever. I'm joyful forever. Glory to God. No wonder Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say unto you. It's continuous. Did you rejoice yesterday? Have you rejoiced this morning? Every time you read, what you find? Rejoice. It's always present tense, continuous. Rejoice. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. So when you are done rejoicing, you start again. You know, I said yesterday, you are in charge of your own intoxication. No? Nobody's in charge. You are the one that determines how drunk you'll be in a meeting. You are the one that determines it. And it's the state of the heart. That is, how much will I drink? Question, how much victory do you want to see manifest? How many storms do you want to see stilled in your life? Because you take the victory that is in your account and you apply it by rejoicing to every area of life. So that when you see confusion and it's coming close, you look at it. At famine and destruction, thou shalt laugh. You say, yeah, I'm the one the scriptures talk about. He that sits in the heavens, I temporarily forgot where I was seated. I thought I was seated among men. I forgot where I was. Now I remember where I am now. I'm in the heavens. I'm in victory. I'm in victory. I'm in victory. I'm in victory. Hallelujah. I laugh. I shout. I roar. And help us to target here. Hallelujah. There's an answer of God to every situation. If you remember who you are, if you learn to acknowledge every good thing which is in you, I'm one with the Holy One. I'm risen with the Lord Jesus. I'm seated in the heavenlies. I'm far above. I'm far above. I'm far above. Where he is, I am. Where I am, he is. He will never leave nor forsake. So I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Glory to God. Have your seat one more time. Glory to God. Yeah, we're warming up. I will not be afraid. You know, I like practicalizing the scriptures. And that's why part of my assignment is to help saints to release the nobility of Christ to men and to restore the confidence of many in the power of God. To bring scriptures down home where you can practicalize. I've had several experiences. When my daughter was 10 and a half months, just started walking. We took her to a crèche some months before. Because my wife had to go to work, we took her to a crèche. We came back home. Thank God that the way I handled each of my, I have three kids, the way I handled them was that from 3 months of age, I started beating them. That's how our bond forms. This particular one, when she was 7 months, I think when she was 7 months, the mother had to go for NYSC. So she was left in my care. Well, the plan was that because my wife was in Lagos, the camps usually overcrowded. So they would say whoever is in Lagos can be coming from home. But that day, we didn't know they changed the rule. My baby was in the car seat. My wife went in to submit her papers and to come back. That's why I didn't allow to come back home. It was like film. That's how I became daddy daycare. So I buckled her in. My wife told me that they refused. I said, no worry, we'll be fine. Are you sure we'll be fine? I took her back home. You see the drama. On Ikorodu sometimes, she'd be crying. I'm using bottle to feed her. I'm using one hand to drive. That's my stopping one day. They saw it. Don't be going. I'm like, they didn't know what they would have to do. Hey, yeah, poor man. Just be going. Just be going. But our bond became stronger. Now, this same child now, my first child, that came by prophecy. We took her to crèche. I was beating her the next morning. We didn't know anything that happened. I saw that she didn't want me to touch her right leg. She kept removing it. She kept removing it. And I saw that the leg was twice the size of the left one. A child of 10 and a half months. The size was... I called my, this is what's happening. We went to see, what's the name of these professionals in child? Pediatrician, a consultant. Now, you know, when you are trying to man up, you are trying to man up. Okay, nothing. I'm in faith. Then the pediatrician sees your daughter and screams. Ah, this is a professional. The professional is screaming. You know, you are feeling like, wait, what's your tongue? Now screams. Pastor, what is this? I said, I don't know. That's why we brought her. He said, go and do x-ray. We didn't go and do x-ray. He said, I suspect something. But she didn't want to tell us. Went to her and then say, when we brought her, they said, the thigh bone is fractured. The first thing was that we're suing the crèche that you took her to. He said, this is the strongest bone in the body. Whatever happened to this is not small trauma. Whatever fell on this leg is big. It's not something small. They broke her leg and they didn't tell you. We're going to sue. Now, then I had a choice to focus my energy on suing or to get my daughter well. I had a choice. I look at my wife. The two of us were like crying. What is this? 10.5 months. Because mom was saying, she may never walk again. She may never walk again. She said, the bone is broken. Can't you see? It's complete. It's a clean fracture. So she wrote a note for us. This was around 4 p.m. She said, start going to Igbobi now. And if you know where we are on the other end. She said, start going now. If you can catch them before they close, take this note in. So when we were in the car, I told my wife, this is real life now. I said, if you cry, me too, I'll cry. You're the only one that can cry. Me too, I will cry. So we're not going to cry. We're going to practice our faith. We're going to rejoice. God will turn this round. When the Lord turned again in the captivity of Zion, He's going to turn this thing around. He's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around. So in the car, while we felt like crying, no, you see, that's the problem with some believers. You think it's about feeling like. No, the feeling will come after. The victory of Jesus will adjust your feelings. Sorrow will turn to joy. Hallelujah. Because the result has nothing to do with God's ability. It's the doctor's prognosis. Doesn't mean God. The one who reverses death. Yes, sir. Who did not suffer is the only one to. He will not leave you there in that calamity or that situation. He will not leave you there in trouble. He is too faithful to fail. He will not. Jesus' resurrection is a testimony of God's eternal faithfulness. The one who doesn't leave man in darkness. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth without form and void. And darkness was upon. Did God leave man? No. Light shone. Christ came in the resurrection. Light shone. That's the story of the scriptures. The one that doesn't leave you behind. He doesn't leave your soul in hell. Man was in hell. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. But the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Resurrection. 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 Darkness was there. Darkness was there, but God was laughing. You won't have the final say. You won't have the final say. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. When he did that, when he raised Jesus from the dead, the impossible became possible. So that from that time, from that one act of possibility, several possibilities will manifest. Glory to God. From that fountain of resurrection, we can draw several victories. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How do I know he won't leave? I saw Jesus rise from the dead after 3 days. The scripture is fulfilled. You will not leave my soul in hell. I will taste death so that every man who believes, when I rise, they will rise also. Hallelujah. We are risen with him. We are seated with him. We reign with him. Have your seat 1 minute. We began to chant praises and sing praises to God, rejoicing, thanking him. We got to Igbobi almost a few minutes to six. We breached through the gates. The first miracle we saw when we entered was that the technicians who closed at 5 were sitting around, seemingly waiting for nothing. Something detained them. There was no light in the vicinity in that facility for about 2 days. When we stepped into, light suddenly came. Doctor that had not been on duty walked in at closing hour. Took the slip, saw it, said, what is this? As he was walking with the technicians, because he needed technicians, they were walking on the leg and were putting things together. He was saying, because of this age, it's a miracle. If anything happens, I said, no, the miracle is already done. The miracle is already done. If you say, you know, when they say that it takes a miracle, start laughing. I know somebody who works miracles. I know somebody who works miracles. It's my father. 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 He's my father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When they say that, except by miracle, what do you say? Say it again. Except by miracle. Thank you for saying that. I know someone. It's a Most High. He works miracles still. Nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. Have your seat 1 more time. They cast the leg that same night. We brought her home that same night. 6 weeks exactly, they told us to come back. The doctor said, if it doesn't sell properly, we'll break the leg again and reset it. 6 weeks exactly happened to be her first birthday when she was one. They opened the cast. The leg was perfectly formed. She's 18 years of age. She's taller than I am. She's in the university today. I've seen the faithfulness of God. I've tasted it over and over again. I have stories to tell of laughing alone in the car. And people walking on the road say, hey, yeah. See what Lagos has done to this young man. I'm talking about when you are cornered. And people expect that way, you know, that's him just starting because it's over. What did you say? When Jesus went down to the depths of the earth, that's why Satan also said it's over. But he did not have the final say. God showed him the way of life. In his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So I say, why are you laughing? They think it is over. We are just starting. We are just beginning. That is why every time, in every situation, in every area of life, when they say no to you, just know God has something better in mind. Something better in life. Something better in mind. 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 Hey! Glory to God. You know, in parable form, yesterday I was talking to a lady in parable form. Let the man go. He that will come is coming. And it's better than the one that just left. Hallelujah. Don't let there be a single day of weeping or sorrow in your life. In the resurrection, you have joy unspeakable. And it's full of glory. Glory to God. We don't quit. We don't give in. We don't surrender. We're never stranded. We win always. We win convincingly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have your seat one more time. Glory to God. That will not leave my soul in hell. He doesn't abandon his own. Neither will you suffer your only one to see one corruption. He's speaking loudly through you in that resurrection. For everyone, Bible says, we're quickened together. We're raised together. We're made to see it together. Whatever happened to him happened to us. He brought many sons into that glory. What's that glory? Death will not have a final say. Hallelujah. Death will not have a final say. My final year in school, a course in 200 level, they said they couldn't find the course. I said, remember chemistry something? I did a 5-year course. I did agronomy in University of Badr. A 200 level, I think chemistry 5-7 or so. They can't find it. Say, go and write it again. And I had to write it when my course list was already 18. That is if you fail, automatic carryover, automatic extra semester. Everything was screaming, extra year, extra year, extra year. This was even in 400 level. As I was doing my 400 level practicals, everything was telling me, you are not going with them. You are not going with them. Because every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt what? That means answer back. You don't answer thought with thought. You answer thought with words. Never think every thought that's passing through your mind is coming from you. No. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast? The faith that doesn't talk is not fatal. Your faith must speak. Your faith must have a voice. Be sober, be vigilant. That is, be sharp, be sensitive. Your adversary, walketh about like a roaring lion. How is he walking about? He is sending thoughts. Look at Peter's figure, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be what? Vigilant. Don't get drunk. Don't get carried away. Don't be deceived. That those thoughts that are coming to your mind, they originate from you. No. No. That's how the Satan is walking about. He said, when he walked about, so you are also looking for who is walking around. It's a figure of speech. He walked about as a roaring lion. He will make noise. How will the noise come? Through the events around you and through thoughts that come to your mind. That's how the noise is coming. Peter uses a figure of speech, an illustration that people knew in the natural, because in the jungle, the lion will roar, the roar of the lion. Wildlife bringers tell us that just a sound paralyzes prey. You know, the lion is far away. The sound has come to where you are. And prey is already paralyzed with fear. Meanwhile, lion is far away. And the one that is paralyzed is the one that will be fall victim. And that says, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom. That means not everybody can devour. is seeking by sending noise. The noise is in the environment, the noise is in thoughts. So you be sober, that is be sharp now. That is be at alert spiritually. Let your mind be irrigated with the revelation of scriptures of the truth of God's word. So be alert, be spiritually sensitive. Don't know. Don't know. He seeketh whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. In the faith. In the faith. In the faith. That means be speaking. Every thought be answering back. Don't keep quiet. No. You don't answer thoughts with thoughts. You answer thoughts with what? With words. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. But they are mighty through God. To the pulling out one, strongholds. We cast down what? Imaginations. And every high thing. What's a high thing? Anything that militates against the name of Christ is a high thing. Every high thing. Every high thing. Anything that stands against the knowledge is called a high thing. Somebody called it high sounding nonsense. Paul there was talking about preaching the gospel, that the gospel is our weapon of warfare. That when we are preaching, what we are doing, that we are dealing with strongholds in the minds of men. That's what we are doing when we are preaching the gospel. That same gospel by which you are saved is what you apply to your life also. You are pulling down anything that is contrary to absolute victory in every single area. I still remember Evan Kennedy again, the testimony he gave. And you know, the day he gave that testimony, when I watched it in the video, I was like, that magazine, he mentioned one of my favorite magazines. I've not been reading this since that time. He said it was written in Research Digest. I know it's full of information. If you're somebody who likes information, I've been reading Research Digest since 1990. So, is that, how many of you know Research Digest? Research Digest. Huh? My goodness. Am I that old? People don't know Research Digest. Wow. Okay. So, it's full of information about science, about many, many things, current events, everything. So it was written, and he read that when you get older from 40, your eyesight begins to fail. You won't see as you used to. Say your memory won't be as sharp as you used to. See, he did not know that information entered. You know, he's unconscious. He went about seeking wound. So he's sneaky. The enemy is sneaky. You won't even know that thing entered. You watch a film. Every firstborn in that family, they don't do well. You keep watching. Then when things are not working, say, I'm the firstborn. I'm the firstborn. The next thing, you are looking for firstborn deliverance service. Hey. Eat that sanctified. And they were sanctified. All have the same father. He's not ashamed to call you brethren. Don't be ashamed to call him Lord. You know what has happened? The enemy has used what you watched to enter. You are not sober, you are not vigilant. That's what has happened. He's going about like right. So he won't know he has entered until he sees your activity. You are not looking for a firstborn redemption service. You are looking for the church where they are removing it. Yes, we have got this one. We have entered. Let's scatter more things. Because things are not working temporarily. You now say, that film. So every firstborn to the third generation. You now begin to see patterns that are not there. He has entered. They have got you. That's what he meant. It's what he has entered. He went about seeking. We said, whom resist steadfast? Let me say it in everyday English. In the victory Christ has accomplished. Resisting the victory that Christ has. Resist steadfast. What's the faith? The victory that Christ has accomplished. Resisting that victory. Use that victory to stand. That's your faith. Use that victory to stand. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Whatever killed your parents does not have to kill you. Whatever limited them does not have to limit you. You belong to a different tribe. You are in a different company. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. There's something peculiar about you. It's the resurrection of Jesus. The shout they didn't have, you have it in you. The joy they didn't have, you have it in you. The steps they couldn't take, you can take it through Christ Jesus. His spirit is in you today, leading you in the way where you ought to go. Hallelujah. So your path is different. So be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary is going about. He's using what's in the environment. He said, resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished by your brethren in who are also in the world. They are also resisting. So nothing is peculiar to you. What's peculiar to you is victory. Hallelujah. It's victory. That's what's peculiar to you. Hallelujah. Where were we now? Hallelujah. I was sharing something before, I think. Did I finish it? Okay, I didn't finish that story. So let me finish the story. Because I think, how many of us are students here? You're a student. You are still in school right now. Okay, so I was doing my practical year as I was owing. I'll be owing because we give us a post-special reach now. I said, we're owing. I began to speak God's word. I will not spend an extra day in the school. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all my papers are in place. They are in order. I pass with flying colors. As of this time, my paper had not been released. I didn't see the results. When the papers were even collated all together, they said, your own is not come because we've not seen chemistry 257. The lecturer refused to mark on time. But my confession remained the same. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the word of God. Because when I was owing, as I was owing, I began to speak God's word, a vision form. I began to see myself in NYC uniform, going for NYC. I didn't see myself a day, one single day more in the school. Then the day came, they said it has been released. I went to go and check. Look at Satan's last card now. Now they say it has been marked, it has been released. And I went to go and check results. When I got to the lecturer, he doesn't know me from Adam. But Satan was speaking to him. Yes, what's your name? What's your number? I told him, 74382. You failed? You failed. I know you failed. Can you? Oga, kilo de? I don't understand. Yeah, I know you must have failed. You must have failed. I know you. He went to go and check. 71, how did you manage? 71? Yeah, you're lucky. I'm not lucky. Hallelujah. It's the victory of Jesus. It's the victory of Jesus. The victory of Jesus. That means he was still playing one last card through the mouth of the enemy. The man was speaking, I don't know you from anywhere. I didn't collect your wife or something, or your girlfriend. And he's saying, I know you. You don't know me. So I know you. Just remember, you must have failed. I don't have to fail. I don't know. You must have failed. Now, I have been fortified. I was super vigilant. I've been fortified because I didn't accept that as a final. He will not leave you soon in hell. He will not leave you in defeat. Don't stay in defeat. Don't stay in defeat. No matter what happens, when you are down, it's time to be up. The only place to go when you are down is up. Hallelujah. He was down, but he rose up, and you rose up with him. Hallelujah. That same event is being replayed in every day of our lives. It's a script that has been marked before the event took place. So when you step into challenges now, not the victory is written, it is signed. Your own report card, life report, has been signed by God. And God has put a pass. He has found you faithful. He put you in the ministry. You know when you are marked faithful before you start the journey? That means he has put something in your account before you even started that you are going to match up to. And God says, I'm confident of this thing. You will live up to this expectation. You are going to live up to this. Hallelujah. You will not leave my soul in there. God's faithfulness. Before we look at Psalm 51, see what it says in Psalm 23. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Where is the valley of the shadow of death? Where death has a say. Where death has control. Where death casts a shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So what is meant to happen when I walk through? Somehow it's not happening. I'm meant to be afraid because death casts a shadow of fear. But something has happened. Through death, he paralyzed him that had the dominion of death and delivered them through their lifetime were subject to bondage through fear of what? Death. So though I walk through the valley of the shadow, this is a prophecy concerning Jesus. Notice what it said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What was in scarcity that men wanted? Men lacked life. Men needed resurrection, they didn't have it. But the Lord is my shepherd, and in being my shepherd, there's something I will not want. There's something I will not lack again in my life. Now, when the psalmist speaks about Jesus or God as shepherd, what is he talking about? Look at Hebrews and chapter 13. Praise God. Are you getting something this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you guys are behaving. Amen. You see, I'm encouraging you to continue behaving. So we can get somewhere before we now misbehave. Are you there? Verse 20, Hebrews 13, verse 20. Oh, glory to God. Now the God of peace, oh hallelujah. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, or that raised Jesus from the dead, from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. So his shepherdhood is in his resurrection. Let me say it again. Now the God of peace, the God that ensures nothing missing, nothing is broken. How did he ensure? By bringing again from the dead. Is that resurrection? Is that resurrection? So in the resurrection, Jesus is the shepherd referred to, and his work is in the resurrection. He became a shepherd in that resurrection. I shall not want for that resurrection. I shall not want for the life that comes from that resurrection. That great shepherd of the sheep. So he's called the great shepherd through the blood of the everlasting what? Covenant. Glory to God. So the great shepherd of the sheep is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, in that resurrection, he has called us out. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And my sheep, they know my voice. And my sheep, they hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not hear. That's John chapter 10. So when will they hear your voice? When he rises from the dead. That was a prophecy. When he rises from the dead. So in his resurrection, we heard his voice. Did you hear his voice? Did you hear his voice? Did you hear his voice through the gospel? When you heard his voice, you no longer heard the voice of a stranger. So as long as the voice of a stranger was loud, you didn't hear it. But when you heard his voice, the hold of the voice of a stranger was gone. Hallelujah. So the Lord is my shepherd. That's the resurrection. I will not want for life. Hallelujah. I will not want for life. Now, what did he call that life in Psalm 16? He will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So that life is also called fullness of joy. What's fullness of joy? Your right hand. Where there are what? Pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's okay to say that fullness of joy is everlasting life. That fullness of joy is life from the dead. That fullness of joy is your sins forever forgiven. Hallelujah. That's the fullness of joy. Look at Psalm 51. Pastor T, you must tell our people in church to be behaving like this. They don't behave in my church also. Don't mind them. We are worshiping, they are already running around. Somebody came for the very first time. Towards the end of the service, the way he was greeting me was different. Very tall fellow. He was speaking in hushed tones. Good afternoon, Pastor. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I said, good afternoon. God bless you. God bless you. Keep up the good work. God bless you. He was wearing soberly. I didn't know what happened. Joshua snapped to me, sir. So I didn't know what happened. I said, no. He said he was hugging the pillar when service was going on. I said, I don't understand. He said he was hugging the pillar. So I went to go and meet him, sir. Sir, is there a problem? He said, there's no problem. Then why are you hugging? He said, something's trying to make me fall down. Say, what are you doing? I'm trying not to fall down. He told the ushers, this is a very strange church. Something's pushing people down here. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I learned from Papa again, don't try to help God. Let God do his business. Hallelujah. When I was much younger, when we were having Holy Ghost meetings, I would be racking my... When I see new people in church, I'd be like, oh my God, how do we explain this? What's going on? One particular year like that, the parents of one of our church members who just got married Saturday before, they came to church on Sunday. And on Sunday, when we were doing Holy Ghost meeting, my head was like, oh my God, what were you saying? How are you doing? I was like, okay. What? I was planning that we're going to tone down this. We'll just tone down. We'll not do all those crazy things. Just tone down. We're going to tone down this. We're not going to do it. We're just going to tone down. I know God was, you know the Greek word called yimu. The Greek word yimu. You don't know that Greek word. God was saying like this. Continue. As though you are in charge. Let's wait. The people I was afraid of, that they will be querying, that they will imagine, the man may say, "Hey, this church my daughter is going. You know, you're not coming to this church again. No? What kind of church is this one?" The people I was really concerned about, when the power of God began, they were the first to fall under power. The people I was concerned about, they were the first to fall. The first set of boots to fall. And God was saying, "I see your work." I don't understand. I prepared the table. I invited you to come and eat. You are trying to tell me how to set the table. I invited you. I'm trying to tell me how to tell the people. Leave them for me. I know how to. Hallelujah. One of those meetings, Spirit of God said, call out everybody who has ever experienced my power. Everybody who has ever. I was saying, who came out? I said the same. I said, now, lay hands on them. So I began to lay hands. Out of seven of them, five of them came under power immediately. They fell down. Two of them, nothing happened. Seemingly. God is very humorous. You know, he knows what is in your heart. So one of them, as he was walking back to his chair, just fell down the aisle. The last one managed to get to the seat. She made it to the seat. You know, that's the most spectacular. She now sat down and fell from the chair. So you never again say that this is not even. Oh, what bar? Agbarawa. 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 What are you talking about? Resurrection power. Hallelujah. Power that shakes things, that uproots things, that destroys, that convinces and persuades men. There is power. Hallelujah. Did you hear Paul? I saw it like I brought the presence of the sun. What kind of light is that? Paul kept saying, you don't understand. I saw a light above the brightness of the sun. What kind of light? You can't even look at the sun. Paul said, I saw a light. I was blind though for 3 days. I was fasting. I was praying for 3 days. That's not natural. It was in the glory. In the glory. That's the glory that's in every service that we gather together. Hallelujah. The glory that changes things, that balances things, that moves things in our favor. That's the glory. Hallelujah. Have you seen one more minute? Glory to God. We're set for great things this season. We're set for great things this season. We're set for great things this season. You will never recover from this season. So many testimonies. Strength workings of God abounding in your life, in your ministry, in the name of Jesus. In Psalm 51, look at David. In Psalm 51. And I'm reading from verse 10. Or verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with thy one free spirit. So the word free is emphasized in the word thy. Well, he says, restore unto me the joy of salvation. I mean, uphold me with your spirit. So what's the joy of salvation? Your spirit. Hallelujah. Your spirit is the joy of what? Salvation. Glory to God. So your spirit is what? The joy of salvation. That's the joy of salvation. Your spirit, that's the joy of salvation. Glory to God. So when Jesus said to us in John chapter 16, after teaching, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Albeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come. What was he talking about? He was talking about his resurrection. He had been teaching them from chapter 13. But in chapter 14, he told them, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, from now onwards, the reference point for believing in God will be believing in me. Because I'm here to fulfill all God has ever said. So he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If we are not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. We know where he will be is a place he has never been before. He has never died, so he has never been raised before. So where I am. So when he was saying through the mouth of David, you will make known to me the way of life. In your presence, by your resurrection, there's fullness of joy. So where is Jesus now? The fullness of joy at your right hand. There are what? Pleasures for. That is a permanent position. It will never change. It will never be altered. That's why we say your salvation is forever. Forgiveness is forever. Sonship is forever. The Spirit is with you forever. Hallelujah. It's the work of God. It can't be undone. Ephesians 2:10. For where is workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has worked before, ordained that you should what? Walk in them. Hallelujah. That's what he has ordained. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. So there are many mansions. That was already in prophecy. It was in prophecy that God will have a family. And then God having a family, you father many sons. So Jesus now said this way, in my Father's household family, there's room for many to be sons like I'm a son. But I will have to go and prepare a place by tasting death for every man. So that in bringing many sons into glory or making you one of those mansions, I will bring you the fullness of the Spirit. which is life forevermore. Hallelujah. I'll go and prepare a place for you. I will come again in my resurrection. And when I come, where I am, hallelujah, where I am, the one singular message of the scriptures is that where he is, there you will be also. So Ephesians says, we were quickened together. That's middle life. We were raised together. How does Ephesians 2, 1 starts? And you, as he quickened, who were dead in treacherous and sins, wherein you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the chief spirit that now walketh where? In the children of disobedience. So in time past, that's where you were. But now you were quickened. Now you are raised. Now you are seated together with him where? In the heavens, far above. Glory to God. Glory to God. So in Psalm 2, 9, verse 7, it now says, he that sit, verse 4, he that sits where? In the heavens. The question is, when did he sit? It was in his resurrection. You know, sometimes people still think God needs a chair in the sky to sit. If you follow Bible language, you know sitting has nothing to do with chair. Hallelujah. It means to abide. But you can't say to God, you see, even the language is already suspicious. He that sits in the heavens, who gave him a chair? How can you tell God to sit? The word sit in the original Hebrews means to abide in a position forever. No. So when you hear he that sits, when David was saying it, nobody was sitting. When did Jesus sit? When he rose from the dead. Thou art my son. Hallelujah. This day have I begotten thee. This, which day? The day that God raised him from the dead. So what Jesus heard, thou art my son. For everybody who believes, you also heard, you are my son. The same voice. The same resurrection. The same life. The same sitting. Hallelujah. Amen. He that sits in heaven, who is in that seat? Nobody was sitting when the prophecy came forth. David wrote that psalm. But the same David wrote Psalm 110. Look at Psalm 110. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I don't know about you. When I see the scriptures sequentially, I'm just excited about God's faithfulness through the ages. How he has been faithful. I don't see any reason why my prayers cannot be answered. I don't see any reason why my confession will not work. I'm not confessing for it to be. No, my confession doesn't mean possession. It's because I possess that I confess. Hallelujah. I have the life of God in me. I have the victory of God at work in my life. Things work together for my good because I have the spirit of living God. Hallelujah. I will have the last say in every situation. I will have the last laugh in every situation. My rejoicing will be loud over every aroma of the faith. My rejoicing is a fragrance. I'm saying to the enemy, you can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't mess with me. You can't mess with me. You can't mess with me. Great is my peace. Nothing can scatter me. Hallelujah. That's what my rejoicing is saying. He that sits in the heavens. When did he sit? Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord. Hallelujah. Sit thou. Hallelujah. Abide at my right hand. Continually dwell in that resurrection. In order that I may make all your enemies your footstool. How does he make his enemies? Through you, through me today. That's how he makes his enemies footstool. It's true. The enemies are God's footstool through the exercise of the authority that Christ has through the saints. That's the right hand. When you're exercising authority, that is God's right hand. It's a display of power among men through the saints. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down. Continually to abide in this state. Which state? You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand. Sit down. Where? At my right hand. That's resurrection. So when is he sitting? When he rose from the dead. So to sit means to abide, to rest, to dwell. It means to dwell in a position and to be in that position for one singular purpose. So that through him, every single saint who is seated together with him can exercise authority over every force of darkness. It says, continue to dwell till all your enemies are subdued. Hallelujah. Or in order that they be subdued. All of them. Continue to dwell. Sit down at my right hand. That was in the resurrection. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Glory to God. He has shown him the path of life. In your presence, that's the path of life. There's fullness of joy, that's the path of life. At your right hand, that's part of life. There are what? Pleasures forevermore. Now look at what it says next. So that you can see what that means. What does it mean for him to sit? Because when he sits, you don't see the sitting. When he dwells, you don't see the dwelling. You only know from the testimony of scriptures. All they saw when Jesus was going to the cross was eyewitness. They saw him taken. They saw him flogged. They saw him crucified. But they didn't see what happened in the unseen. They didn't see that the man hanging on the cross became sin. They didn't see that. It was the Spirit's witness that unveiled to them that when you see Jesus, all the sins of mankind, you can't see that. Only the Spirit can. So whatever happened there, the Spirit gave witness in the epistle. You were quickened together. You were raised together. You were made to see together. So the togetherness was revealed by the Spirit. All they saw was him alone. But if they knew at that time that him being there means you are there. Him going down means you went down. So that him coming up means you also came up. No wonder I called it fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Lord said to my Lord, sit down my time until I make your enemies thy footstool. Look at the next thing it says in verse 2. This is shouting ground. The Lord shall send the rod of your son out of Zion. Rule thou away in the midst of your enemies. Hallelujah. We don't tell the enemy to get out of the way. We rule. We rule. We exercise mastery. We exercise victory. Even though the enemy is what? Present. Look at next verse. Thy people shall be willing. I checked the scriptures. One of the words of meaning of the word willing is they'll be spontaneous. Uh-huh. They'll be spontaneous. They'll be what? Spontaneous. In the day of your power, your people shall be spontaneous. Are we in the day of his power? Uh-huh. He said, your people. So that means the sitting can only be seen through some people. Those people are your people. The reason why you are sitting, they are the saints. They are the many sons he has brought into glory. So the proof that you are seated will only be seen in the activity of those people. And those people, in the day when you are seated, that's the day of your power, they will be spontaneous. Glory to God. And nobody is trying to rouse them. We're not trying to persuade you. We're telling you we're in the days of his power. In that day, people shall be spontaneous. So there's a spontaneous shout. Spontaneous laughter. Spontaneous. It's spontaneous. It's spontaneous. In the day. So that means his sitting is for you. His sitting is for your spontaneity. He's sitting so that you can exercise dominion and mastery. That's why he's seated. His sitting means he continually abides in that position. Hebrews 7:25 will say that he ever liveth to make intercession for you. And when you hear the language of the writer of Hebrews, when it says he ever liveth to make intercession, I don't know why people think that when he heard intercession, it means God is praying. No, he can't be praying. He's God. He's God. He can't be praying. To make intercession means that whatever he has accomplished is because of you. That's intercession. It means whatever he has done, whatever he has accomplished, he has done it for you. That he's seated, he's been alive, is his intercession for you. His life is his intercession for you. That means his life is there so that you can benefit from it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you see what Peter did in Acts chapter 3? They were going about the hour of prayer. It wasn't yet, they had not yet prayed. They saw a man by the people gate. Oh, I will never forget. I will never forget. I will never forget. The first time I read that, I spirit of God opened my eyes to see it. And the man was asking arms, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold I buy none. That is variable. But such as I have, that which heaven gives, such not such as I borrow. I'm a possessor of this name. Such as I have, give I did. Now, to show you that I have it, I can give freely. Because I also receive freely. It's not a function of prayer. It is such as I have received. I can give in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He deliberately mentioned the earthly details of Jesus. It was deliberate. Because there was Jesus of Capernaum. Yeah. And Jesus of Galilee. Jesus was a common name. It's the Old Testament word of Joshua. You were salvation. So it was common. But Jesus of Nazareth, at least you heard of him. A man approved of God among you with signs and wonders. Jesus of Nazareth. What did he used to do? Signs and wonders. To show you he's still alive. Whatever he did then, he will do now. But if he's dead, the signs die with him. But if he's alive. If he's alive. If he's alive. The proof of his aliveness is found in what he keeps doing. Remember I said that the work that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. That's not a departure. That's a coming in. To go to the Father means he now dwells in you. Hallelujah. He now dwells in you. He now lives in you. I go, has he gone to the Father? Is he living in you now? Greater work simply means I was doing it alone. I will do it through many of you now. That's greater. It's greater. I will do it through many of you now.
So Peter said, you don't know what it means for Peter to say that. This same Peter that was timid, that they queried him, this one is also among them. Is I've never, no, I'm not one of them. That's not true. Second person, second time, they tend to me and you also among them. He said, I'm never, if I've seen him, let me die. The third time, he said, if I've ever been with him, curse me. The same Peter now says, such as I have, something has changed. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, stand to your feet and walk. Hallelujah. Then the right hand was seen. God's right hand was seen through Peter. Because that right hand and the name are one. And that name and everlasting joy, they are one. Hallelujah. Can you laugh? Can you shout? Do you know that's God's right hand? I told you yesterday how in a meeting, God said, tell them to shout. And migraine headaches disappeared. I was in another meeting. As I was preaching, suddenly he said, stop. He said, tell them to run. The whole church started running. And I called some people. I said, you have pain from ear down, which I'm going to do shortly. And then the young man came forward. I said, look at me. I said, look on us. You know, today we say, that's proud. You're proud. You're proud. Say, look to Jesus. Can they see Jesus? Are you not the Jesus that I went to see? I said, look at me. He looked at me. The first sign that he was healed, apparently he was struggling to walk. The knee down, serious pain. I said, look at me. The first sign was a sign of, there was an incredulous look on his face. No, it can't be. Look at this. No. I said, bro, it's gone. It's gone. You are healed. The look of wonder was upon his face. The meeting said, eh? And the man of God did not touch me. No. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up to your feet and walk. You know what it meant? You crucified him, but God has raised him. And every time they spoke about resurrection, they didn't speak about an event. This book about the present tense continuous event reality. In other words, whom God has raised up and he is still standing. From the time he was raised, he is still standing till now. And the proof he's standing is rise up to your feet and walk. When I told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I'm with you, even unto the end. I'm with you how? Always. The I am is with you. Like I promised Moses. I am, and I will be what I will be. I will be with you. I am who I am, and who I am will be seen when I come to live in you. That was what he was telling Moses. I am that I am. Who I am will be fully seen, not in the invisible realm. It will be seen when I'm manifested through you. So when he said, lo, the I am, Jesus took on the name of Jehovah personally. Personalized it. Put vowels inside. He said, lo, I am. That's Jehovah's name. Taken from Exodus chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. He said, Lord, the I am now exists with you. I'm not a visitor, I'm a resident. Where you go, I go. Where you stand, I stand. Where you gather, we gather together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he was saying. So when he was saying that, Lord, go, the I am is with you. I exist now to be with you. It has happened. I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter. It has happened. The spirit of the reality of this union, that he may abide with you how long? Forever. The I am is now with you. Wherever you go, I go with you. So in your going, I'm going with you. When Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The man was slow. Peter pulled him up. No doubt about it. There was no doubt. So they carried that sound everywhere they went. Chapter 14 of Acts. Paul carried that sound to a city. And a man that was impotent, never walked, infantile paralysis, heard Paul preach. Paul passively had faith, and Paul looked at him. Stand upright upon your feet. The sound came, the sound of joy. The man jumped up. Such as I have. Such as I have. How does he want us to work miracles? He's okay to say, look on us. When they are healed, say, give praise to Jesus. Did you hear what I said? When I say give praise to Jesus, in that meeting as we're getting healed, the one that's clapping, I said, no, don't clap, lift up your hands and thank the one.
is unseen, but his activity can be seen. Through one man who is obeying. That's what is happening. Don't clap, give him praise. They began to praise God. So we call the attention to us because Christ is living in you. The life you now live, you live by the faith of. Then after you have done the work, you can say, give praise to Jesus. But it's miracles. His right hand is seen through you today. That's what he called you for. Hallelujah. That's why when you feel dry, you can sing, you can pray. But if you follow Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 16, follow that order. What's that order? Rejoice evermore. Then pray without ceasing. You know what that means? You rejoice, then you pray. Now you are praying. That means you are going in the long haul. You have not prayed properly when you have not rejoiced though. You mix your prayer with rejoicing. Why? Because you are praying in victory. You are praying in victory. Hallelujah. He says, when you follow that pattern, give thanks. Not for all things, in all things. Not for all. He says, in all things. That means there are some things you can't give thanks for. But you can give thanks in all situations. You can give thanks in all. Not for all, in all. So no matter what is going on, thanksgiving never dries up. It's a fountain. It's a proof of being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it says, quench not the Spirit. Despise not what? Supernatural utterances. It will come up. He said, that's the pattern that you follow. That's the pattern that you follow. So even when you are feeling dry, laugh a little. Shout a little. Dance a little. They ask me, what's the secret of your 30 years of miracle ministry? Because that miracle ministry went into full bloom when his wife passed away when he was 54 years of age. And for the next 30 years, he went on trips. He touched all 5 continents of the earth. And everywhere he went, revival took place. They asked him that. Even place where it was dry, nobody was having revival. He said, how come you're able to have revival? He said, no, I carry my revival with me. I carry the waters with me. He said, how do you wake up in the morning? He said, some of you brush your teeth first in the morning. He said, when I get up in the morning, I land on my feet. I do high-speed dancing for 10 minutes. Rejoicing. Praising God. He has raised 23 people from the dead. I think that's 23 more than your own. Abby? You didn't get that one. Just leave it. Somebody tells that when he wakes up morning, when he lands on his feet, some of you, first thing you check your phone, he say, I wake up rejoicing. Another day is here to serve the risen God. The one who is not seen will be seen through me today. Wherever I go, I carry the waters within me. I carry his life within me. I carry his saving grace about me. He said, I am in constant revival. It doesn't matter. Say, if it's dry, send me there. The waters are within me. It will break forth. That's why carry me there. It doesn't matter. And you're like, that place is so dry. We know. We know, but you are not dry. With joy, you draw water from the wells of what? Salvation. Do you have the wells within you? Are the wells within you? Yes, hallelujah. Say, with joy, you will draw. So joy is a constant way you draw out. Glory to God. You have pain anywhere in your body. I mean, pain you can feel and stand to your feet. Where's the pain? Any other person, you have pain in your body. I want to show you something. Where's the pain? Where's the pain? Your side. You can feel it right now. Okay, where's the pain? You're here. Where's the pain, sir? Your thigh. Okay, has it been there for a long time? Or recently? Recently. Okay. Where else? Yes. Where's the pain? Where's the pain? Your back? Your lower back? Where's the pain, ma? Your chest. You can feel it now. Now, I deliberately ask for those who can feel it. Can you feel whatever it is, you can feel it now? Where's the pain? Your palm, okay. You eat it or something. Or you sprained it. Sprained, okay. What else? Yeah. Your back, okay. Yes, ma. You have headache. Oh, okay. And it's still there now. Okay, yep. Your back. What else? Okay, so let's do it because of time. Everybody that has back pain, come. Now, that lady that has one in the palm, come. No, you stay here. I'm going to do 2 lines. Lady with headache, come. The 2 of you together. You come forward a little. No, you come from. He's in the palm, right? Where's the lady with the dick? Come. Now watch. Watch. Such as I have, isn't it? Give ID. In the name of Jesus, you can feel the dick right now. Now, look at me. Can I have people just be around them? What's happening to your head? get up, you won't find the headache there again. You give me your arm, right? Yes, it's real right now. On the scale of 1 to 10, how's the pain? On the scale of 1 to 10, how's the pain? It's what? It's reducing. Just like now. Just keep looking at me. But any of you can keep looking at me too. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Let's quietly sing it. At the center of it all,
it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Oh, there's power. There is power in your name.
Back, back, back. Okay.
Miracles happen in your name. As we lift a voice, as we lift a voice and praise, it's you that I see. Only you, it's you that I see. At the center of it all, at the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. At the center of it all, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. That I see, only you, it's you that I see. There is power in your name. There is power in your name. Oh, miracles happen in your name.
It's gone.
Only you.
You know, it doesn't say at the mention, it says at the name, isn't it? So we have to learn that we can mention and not use, but we can use without mentioning. At the name means in his reputation, what he has accomplished. So what if you are in a situation where you're not allowed to lay hands? Can you still transfer power? You should be able to. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, generally that scripture is talking about his sovereignty with respect to salvation. That in the light of what he has accomplished, nobody can come to Father except through his name. Every knee will have to bow. He has committed all judgment to the Son. So, but by extension, the principle is still, Peter said, look on us. That means what I carry is what John carries. So it's look on us means let your focus be away from every other thing. Look on us. Why? This is Jesus standing before you in the light of two men. When he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, why was Paul's revelation identification the strongest? The first was, Paul ever heard Jesus say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul was like, plus, we never met though. Bros G, I don't know you. And Jesus was telling him, everybody you touched, you were touching me. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's what Paul heard that was strange. And Paul knew, he's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I just met. He's the only one that dwells in the light that no man can put onto. This is that Jehovah that is speaking now. For the first time, he knew that Jesus that he was persecuting was the same Jehovah that appeared to Moses. And he was a fanatic about the law of Moses. He now understood, this is that Jehovah that appeared to Moses. Why are you persecuting me? Where the same goes, he goes into what he said, so that where I am, there you may be also. His right hand will never be seen until you demonstrate it. He won't be seen. That's his plan. greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. And he was talking about the indwelling through his ascension. I go to my greater. Why is it greater? I was able to do this only in one location. I will do this through several tabernacles everywhere. So it's greater. That's what he was saying. It's greater. It's greater. It's greater. So when Peter said, look on us, such as I have. Can you whisper it? Such as I have. Such as I have. This life, this grace, this city, this authority is for me today. I will never again be like a desecrator about the power of God. I will never again hold back from the move of the Spirit. I will never be again docile or complacent about the workings of God through me. These hands heal the sick. These hands raise the dead. These hands work miracles. Jesus has my hands. He has my tongue. He has my feet. He has my body. Where I stand in the circumference of his glory, his glory can radiate. I mean, some people are so in Christ saturated that when they stand, the circumference of the power that flows through them, the circumference is so wide. John G. Lee said there was a time the workings of God were so strong that if he points in a particular direction, it would be like a thunderbolt hit the person. He said at that time there was such a working that he was almost afraid. And in his generation, they said, was a contemporary of E.W. Kenyon. He said they didn't know any other person who had the revelation of Christ in man consciousness like John G. Lee had. That was the secret. God inside of men. Which is what Christ paid for. Not that we are beggarly, we are begging. No. Not that we are looking for a key to us to live in us. Not that we are asking him not to go. He said, I will never leave. I will never forsake. He said so. Why am I speaking or acting like it's fireway? I get the fact that you sometimes need to pray. And you should stay prayed up. Because prayer is living fellowship. You receive instructions from the master, you and he, you're on the same level. So you can constantly keep communication. Prayer also emboldens you. Yeah, that's true. But prayer doesn't put inheritance there. His sacrifice made that inheritance available. He that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, they're all of one. It's not a shame to call us brethren. That means of the same stock. We come from the same womb. We have the same DNA. Hallelujah. Have same DNA. In Ephesians chapter 1, 3-4 verse 20 from verse 19. The exceeding greatness of power towards what I believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens, far above all power. Every name that's named. Not only this, but when that will come, and given to be the head of all things to the church. The church is the fullness of him that fills all in all. And you! As he quickened. Chapter 1 flows to chapter 2. Don't let the separation fool you. And you, as he quickened. That means all he said is for you. Will be seen through you. They can't see Jesus, but they can see him. Hallelujah. So when you laugh, work miracles too. When you shout, heal sicknesses too. Activate men. Let Christ shine through you. He said, based on what he has accomplished, in the day of his power, his people shall be spontaneous. No thinking, just acting. Just act out. You think there was room for Peter to think? He wasn't doing it for any others, such as I have. The man was slow. Peter pulled him up. Hallelujah. Where's the pain? It has been replaced by another one. I know the one that came. Don't worry. It's an activation. Where's the pain now? The pain you were having. Come. I don't take excuses. You know what I mean? Like, just pardon God. Don't pardon God. Though. Because it's not God you are pardoning. Listen carefully. One of the craziest pain that anybody can have. How many of you have had toothache before? Toothache. Okay. You know you cannot lie about toothache. You know, is that you are healed or you are not what? So ask the lady. Where is the pain? He said, 10 over 10. He said, look at me. And I went to minister to other people. And I came back. Where's the pain? He said, 5 over 10. I went back, ministered, came back. Look at me. She didn't answer. She was just crying. What's the matter? She couldn't believe. When to take cruise, you will know it has gone. It is that crazy. The answer to my question is, where is the pain? Was tears. She could not believe it. And the pain was not, and I didn't touch her. But somebody else did. Somebody else did. So what's my boldness with starting? What's happening? It's gone. Pain can't stand before him. The one that loses the pains of death and delivered all captives is at work here this morning. And one of the reasons why he sent me here is to demonstrate so you can see the exceeding greatness of his power towards you that believe, according to the working of power over and above what you will require in a lifetime. I'm sure pastor has taught you about 6 weeks what were used for power in those two verses. Theologians agree there's no other greater concentration when it comes to adjectives used to describe God's power that you can find in those verses. But the one that surprises me the most is the word upabalo. How can you have an ant, you not bring out a bazooka? Doesn't make any sense. You see, the level of your weakness is serious. You see, I want to kill the ant in 3,000 lifetimes. That's how to describe the person. Power that is over and above what you're going to require in a lifetime. So that when you point in a direction, even if there are 3 million, they can still be saved. Enough power is released to save them. I hope you understand. When it doesn't matter where you go to, he gave you enough power. He gave enough. So you don't lack power. Power is not your problem. In expression, it may be an issue, but power availability is not the problem. There's boldness problem. There may be prayer deficiency, but there's no supply problem. It is a manifestation and expression, because there's a level of boldness you need to have to walk. And that's one of the reasons why God releases special ministries. There are some of us, for instance, from last night, I'm going to pray for shortly now, because that thing's going to come back again. It's already coming upon some of us now. Everywhere I go, it happens like that. It's also one of the signs that follows my own ministry now, because I activate people now. Let me explain what I mean. Your palms are burning. Your hands are trembling. Some of you feel the trembling in your legs. Then some of you, it should be like you are wearing a jacket. Now, for those who have that burning sensation, every time it happens, it's calling your attention two things. You are in the presence of God's glory, and so it's activating your body's reacting to that glory. So that particular faculty that's opening with that, you will start responding. That's number one. Number two, somebody is sick that you need to place those hands on. That's the second reason why it comes. Hallelujah. Thirdly, every time you are in fellowship with God and it becomes intense, that thing will come to operation. To remind you that the call is there, the grace is there, the faculty is open. Did you hear what I said? Those three things happen. So if you are walking normally in school and it comes on, just know somebody sick is around. That you need to find out. What do you pursue next? You know, Jesus said you shall receive power. That is, you take up power. So you now take word of knowledge. Somebody said, how do you take one of them? You browse. You know browsing. You browse now. Browse on another yet. No, you are waiting for God to just give you. No, he has given you. But the manifestation of spirit is given to every man for the profit of his giving. Say he's giving. And so then you now browse. Because he said take. Is that what he said? How can he say take when it's not available? So you now browse, you browse. You know when you put worm on a hook, you now put the hook in the water. You know you are supposed to catch something. And so you browse by tongues. You use tongues to browse. You are browsing. Oh, what am I doing? I'm browsing. Now I'm using this to show you how to browse. Now in my own browsing, what did I discover? There's somebody here who has a family member who has blood sugar issues. Who is the person? Blood sugar. Okay. Tell them they are healed. Tell them they are healed. Now, again, if you're a man of God, you may become spoiled. Let me explain. Pardon my language. That's, you know, when the hand of God is upon you, you just like this, you begin to see. It's not every time. It doesn't mean the grace of God is not available. Don't get so used to God being the one to initiate that you don't know how to initiate again. The one that even works, that will train you, that will build you up, is not that one of God initiated. It's the one that you initiate that grows you. Because it makes you rely more on the word of God. You hear what I said? If you want to grow and rely on God's word, you want to get stronger in God's word, is that big one that works better for that one. The one that God initiates, almost no faith required on your part. I hope you know. No. Almost no faith required on your part. What faith did I need to get up from the chair I was, and I was a guest minister? I said, when you get up, tell them to shout. I didn't need faith now. I heard it. He said, my wife, they said, I didn't get it. We're doing watch night service one day, and he said that, tell everybody to shout. And we did. I'm trying to remember his name now. I forgot his name now. Inga Fuchalebo's wife's cousin. That guy. And then when he's finished shouting, God said, there are people who have a hearing problem. Somebody even has a problem of the ears. So tell them to stand up. I didn't stand up. He said, the thing is gone. You know, when you have ear problem, the last thing you want people to do is to shout. But God said, let everybody shout. And then when they shouted, the thing popped open. Then something else happened. Somebody had a lump in the bus. It vanished from the shout. Because the shout of a king is in our midst. Hallelujah. So the one that grows you is the one where you deliberately act on God's word. When the hand of God is upon you, that initiates certain things, that's fine. You have to learn how to flow with both. But again, like I said, now I'm giving some principle of that burning in your palms. Now when it comes, it's a healing anointing. It's meant to be used to minister to people. How do you know which that you browse? That's start speaking in tongues. Don't be distracted, because when you start speaking also, that thing increases intensity. But it's like an indicator. Somebody is around who is carrying sickness. Find out who it is. The more you use it, the more the gift appreciates. The more you grow in how the gift operates. Because the more results you get, the more confident you become. Hallelujah. You know, my associate pastor here, we've been together for over 20 years or so now. And in our local assembly, we're not the only ones that lay hands. People, there are people who have been trained. There are women, particularly ladies, who have been activated along line. Who wants the meeting starts and there's a ministration of healing along that area, we just call them out. Somebody say, why? Well, it's more like a special ministry, because when they touch you, you can actually feel it. You can actually feel it. You can feel it. And you know, when you feel something, it helps your faith to receive. I mean, even talking about. So there are people now. So, and that's where God designed the body. Not a pastor will do everything. No. Pastor is going to train you and equip you for the work of the ministry. You do the work, he equips you. So in meetings like this, we personally are packing Tanisha. Oh Father, thank you. May the spirit of sin and knowing may fall upon men and women afresh in this house. In the name of the Lord Jesus, according to your eternal plan and your purpose, the days ahead may begin to fall. Begin to fall. You said to me that your power will fall. Let your power fall now on many, on many, on many, on many, on many, on many. Let your power fall. 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 Let your power fall upon men, upon women here. Now, 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 now. Now, 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 in the name of Jesus, 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 let your power fall. Let the fire, let the fire be kindled afresh and anew upon men and women here across board, everywhere, 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 everywhere. Let the fire burn. Let the fire burn. Let the fire burn. Faculties open. Faculties opened. Who is it among you that sings a song in your dream, and when you wake up, you usually don't remember? You don't remember for Louis person. You are the one. Stand to your feet. The same way it was vivid in your dream, the same way it will be in real life. You wake up and you write it down. To be so clear, from now, that hindrance is removed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yep, yep. In the name of Jesus. It's an adjustment. An adjustment. An adjustment. An adjustment. An adjustment. In the name of Jesus. Songs will come. Songs will come. You will go beyond choruses now. You go beyond choruses. Okay? Choruses. You sing them when you are worshiping. They come to you. You sing them. Personally, privately. They will become full songs. But they will come with more rapidity. More rapidity. More rapidity. In the name of Jesus. The faculty is open on your inside from this time forward. It's open. It's open. It's open. In the name of Jesus. Faithfully, you pour the water in the hands of the prophet. May the rewards of that office begin to function. Now begin to see in the name of Jesus. More insight is granted. More insight granted. More precious of the Spirit released upon you. Walk in the same footsteps as your pastor. Walk in the same clarity. Walk in the same grace. Walk in the same grace. The heart is right, so walk in the same grace. His hand is upon you for good. His hand is upon you for good. In the name of Jesus. Come. What your heart is yearning for. What your heart called for. When I looked at you, it's yours to enjoy and to experience now. I'm going at you, see, and loving in you, and giving you, loving in you. Don't get it, bless you, get it. I want you to stand, I want you to stand. I want you to walk to the back. When you get over there, just face this direction and stretch your hands this way. Let's go there. Come on this way. Thank you.